Well, desire your prayers. We look into the Word this afternoon. I've written on the board, split the baby. And it is on the subject of love, if there's any question. If you will turn with me to 1 Kings, I'd like us to read a story in the Scripture that happened with King Solomon. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. Chapter 3, beginning from verses 4 to 13, we read about King Solomon was a new king. He was a young man. He was a new king. And God had appeared. He had gone to offer sacrifices at Gibeon. And in verse 5, it said that the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and he said, "Ask what I shall give thee." In other words, ask me anything you want, what you want me to do. And Solomon answered, and he said in verse 7, he said, "I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out or to come in." And he said, "I'm in the midst of a great people." And he said, "Would you give me understanding to judge thy people? Help me to know between good, the difference between good and bad, and who is able to judge this so great a people?" And the Lord was so pleased with Solomon's request, because he could have said, "Give me riches," that God granted Solomon's request and gave him great wisdom. In addition, he gave him wealth, because he's like, "You know what? You ask of me the best thing you could have asked me, so I'm just going to double the blessing, and I'm going to give you a lot more than what you even asked for." So we find that Solomon came back from offering the sacrifices where God had met with him, and he was faced with a great challenge, and it was kind of a test of his wisdom. See, this was the first story that we read about after God had given him wisdom, and after Solomon had acknowledged his neediness before the Lord. So we're going to pick up with verse 16. It said, "There came two women." Now keep in mind, this is immediately after asking for wisdom. So if we want wisdom today, I wonder if we could learn from the wisdom of Solomon. "There came two women that were harlots." Now, first of all, there is a difference of opinion of scholars on the nature of these two women. Some would say if they were really harlots, like it says, that they would not have been given audience to the king. And that word in the Hebrew is actually translated a little bit different and could have some other meanings. So there is a little bit of controversy over this. But if you take it at face value, these were two women that were living very sinful lifestyles. Apparently, from the look of it, they were living, you know, together. Their husbands were not there. If they were harlots, maybe they didn't have husbands. If they worked other professions, maybe their husbands were gone. But needless to say, these were needy women. They came to the king, and they said, one woman said, "Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house." And that would almost indicate that they might well have been harlots. We dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. Where were your husbands?" I think that's a fair question, isn't it? "And it came to pass the third day that after I was delivered, that this woman delivered also. So we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house. We were the only two. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it." In other words, at nighttime, she rolled over on the baby, smothered it, and her baby died. That's what happened. "And so then it said, she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while I was asleep." She came into my room, and she put her dead baby beside me and took my live baby and took it in. "And then it said, when I got up in the morning to feed the baby, she said it was dead. And when I considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son. And the other woman said, no. She said, the living one is my son, and the dead baby is your son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and thy living and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king." So you've got two women here. One of them saying, you know what, and this probably did happen, one of the women rolled over on her baby and it died. And the accusation was, from one of them, was that the other woman came in and replaced the dead baby with the living baby. So now how are you going to figure out whose baby it was? They're both saying the live baby is theirs. So what do you say to that? They didn't have DNA testing like we do today. You know, babies, a lot of babies, a newborn baby is a newborn baby. And to figure out whose it is was very difficult. And so now the wisdom of Solomon was being put to the test. How are you going to answer this? You just told God you didn't know how to go in and come out. And I would acknowledge that this case would have done that. So this is what King Solomon said. The king said, "Bring me a sword. I'll take care of the problem. You both want the baby. You're both saying it's yours. So just bring me a sword." And they brought the sword to the king. See, this was more than just, he didn't just say, we ought to just get a sword, then we'll see what happens. They brought a sword. And I can almost see Solomon with his sword, had one of his men hold that baby in front of him. He said, "Here, hold that baby still. Here, kind of stretch that neck out just a little bit." And he took his sword, and I could just see him raising it up. You think, what kind of king did we come to administer judgment? The king said, "Divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other." Let's split the baby. Let's divide the baby, and you know what? You'll both have a dead baby. "And then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son." In other words, I can just physically, she was physically affected. "This is my son. You're talking about killing my son." And she said, "Oh my Lord," she said, "give her the living child, and no, in no wise slay it." But the other said, "Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it." And the king answered, "Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof." And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. The mother that had love for that baby said, "Don't destroy the baby. Don't destroy the baby. Just give her to this harlot, this other harlot who is lying, who has stolen my baby. Just let her take my baby." So what lesson do we learn from that? We can learn about the wisdom of Solomon. The Lord gave him the ability to discern who was telling the truth. I will say this about the truth. The truth has a way of coming out through time. There are times that we have our perceptions, and this is something we need to be careful of. Do you know many times the first person you hear a story from, it shapes what you think about something? It's just the way of it. Someone could come up, "Did you hear something? I want to tell you about something happened." And they tell you their side and what happened, and you formed an opinion before you even heard the other side of the story. We need to be careful about that. But time has a way of proving out truth. I know sometimes there are situations people say, "What's right?" And this side, and there's this side. You wait. And sometimes it takes years, but years will prove out what was true and who was right and who was true and who was devious. Time has a way of proving that out. But here we have a case that the mother of the child, because of her love, said, "I am willing to give up my baby so that that baby can have life." The story demonstrates the nature of what true love is. True love. She was willing to lose her child that he could have life. She was willing to give her son up, and she was willing to let go. The other woman was willing to lose the living baby so that no one would have a living baby. She had suffered loss. Her baby had died. And her thinking was, "If my baby's dead, I don't want anyone to have a living baby. If I can't have it, I don't want anyone to have it. If I can't do it, I don't want anyone to be able to do it. Question for you children and young people. If there was one cookie left, one cookie, there's just one cookie. You come in the kitchen and there's two of you and there is one cookie. Would you prefer your brother or sister to have that cookie, or would you rather there just have been no cookie at all? In other words, if I don't get a cookie, I would just rather no one has a cookie. Do you know that that is, do you know why that's kind of humorous? Because I think we all understand the truth behind it. Because if there is one cookie and there's two of you, it's like, well, why did they get the cookie? I mean, in that something rises up inside of you, it's like, that's not really fair. I didn't get one. And so it's like, you would have almost preferred there, no one got a cookie. But do you know what that says about human nature? That if I can't have some, I don't want anyone to have some. If I can't get a cookie, I don't want my sister to get a cookie, because that's just not right. True love is willing to sacrifice for the benefit of someone else. Because if there was no cookie, I wouldn't have had a cookie. If there were no cookies, I wouldn't have got one. So then can I not learn by love to rejoice if you got a cookie? You got a cookie. That's wonderful. Why would, isn't it petty though, if I said, well, I would have wished no one would have gotten one because I didn't get one. Do you know how many attitudes people struggle with because they didn't get a cookie? I mean, we say cookies, it's no big deal, but do you realize that in life, there are people that get blessings and get something, and maybe you don't get what they get, and then people struggle with attitudes and resentments and ill will because, like, that's not right. But true love, and this is something that we can learn from this mother, sometimes people say true love is holding close. But there's another aspect of true love. True love is willing to let go. True love is saying, I love enough that I will let go. True love is saying that, you know what, maybe I can't have, but if someone else can be blessed, Jesus said, rejoice with them that rejoice. Don't be resentful. Don't have ill will. That was the nature of the mother whose baby died. If my baby's dead, I sure don't want someone else to get it. Think about the promotions on the job, pay raises, the new house, the new car. Why would someone be resentful that someone got something nice? Do you understand how people can do that? Have you ever felt a twinge of anything when someone, something blessed happened? It was like, well, I did. What about me? You know, that needs to be conquered. That needs to be conquered because true love can rejoice that someone was blessed. It's not about it's not fair that I didn't get it. It's that, you know what, I'm glad someone's been blessed over here. And you know what, maybe next time the Lord will bless me. But it's about looking on them with love and consideration. And it came about by Solomon saying, let's split the baby. Let's see who has the true love. The other woman was willing to see life destroyed, that someone else could not have what she had lost. This is the nature of true love. True love is willing to let go for the long-term benefit. And there's a lot of different situations this could be applied to. But true love is willing to let go even in the middle of injustice for the long-term benefit of someone's soul or situation. The mother said, you know what, just let this other woman take the baby. I don't want to see the baby destroyed. Are you willing to let some things go in your life for the long-term benefit of someone or something else? Love is willing to suffer injury and injustice for the potential future redemption of someone else. There are some times that justice situations cry out loudly for justice. Not wanting someone to take my side. I just want things to be fair. I just want justice. Just give me justice. Justice. You know, there's something in a lot of us that justice is pretty important. I don't like things to be unfair. But you know what I've learned in life? It's not fair. And I've learned in life that in times I was in situations that were not fair, the Lord told me to humble myself. But I just want justice. Humble yourself. You know the reason why? Because love does not want the baby to be split. Love is willing to suffer injustice for the future redemption of that baby. And that means that we're going to have to give some things up sometimes. And I don't know why the Lord necessarily gave the message, but this is what true love is. It's willing to let go. It's love is more than just holding on. Do you remember when Jesus was going to the village of the Samaritans? And the Samaritan said, we don't want you to come. I mean, they were rejecting Christ. That wasn't right. And you know what? When something isn't right, there's something about us. Listen, someone needs to stand up for what's right. And that's exactly what the disciples did. Lord, they rejected you? Do you want us to call down fire from heaven like Elijah did? And Jesus said, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. He said, I came not to destroy men's life, but I came to save them. And it says Jesus went to another village. You know, sometimes people use love to just hold on and cling on, and we can use truth to do it. But Jesus said, you know what? Those Samaritans aren't ready for me, and I don't want to split the baby. I'm just going to quietly go to another village. Maybe down the road they'll ask me to come back. There are situations, folks, where things are not going to be right, and they're not going to be just. And to have a fair hearing, you can come out of that hearing maybe being right. Maybe others can come out saying, okay, yes, they were right. But what died in the process? The baby was split. And would it be willing to suffer some injustice for the future redemption and say, I am willing because of love to let go? I am willing to look like the bad guy. Why? For the future redemption of that baby. This is true love. This is true love. You all have heard the illustration, I'm sure. If you want to see if an animal really loves you, what do they say do? If you like a bird, you know, you read the stories, you do what? Let it go. Take it out of the cage. Take it off the leash. Take it out. And let it go. You say, well, my dog loves me. Really? Your bird loves you? Let it out of the cage and see how much it loves you. If it comes back, then that means, see, there's that desire there. But see, this is something that's important for us to realize, that love is not always about holding close. Love sometimes is letting go. And you know, parents, it's a lesson that as your children get older, you have to learn that love is not always about holding right here. Painfully, sometimes love is letting go, lest the baby be split. That's what the prodigal son's father did with the prodigal son. His son, at the time, was lost spiritually, but he knew exactly what he was doing. I want to leave here. And the father gave him his right. You can leave if you want. Here's your inheritance. But the father was there waiting when he came back. But true love is about learning to release. It's learning when to hold on, and it's also learning when to let go. And that doesn't mean that the prodigal son's father did not love his son. And others could look on and say, what is wrong with that father? His children are doing what? The prodigal son's father was thinking towards the future and thought, you know what? It's not going to change his heart if I just hold on with all I've got. And I'm going to have to learn to let go. That is the greater love. And sometimes in relationships, sometimes in church problems, sometimes in just work problems, school issues, true love is not about splitting the baby. It's about saying, I am willing to suffer in injustice for the future life of this child. I'd say that's wisdom, isn't it? This was the first test of his wisdom. As a church, we are a mother. And true love as a body of people, as a church, sometimes is going to be about letting go rather than someone losing their life. Our life for God is not forced. And I know we talk a lot about it, but young people and children, I can't stress it to you enough. True love for God is not about living this life of holiness because you have to. Young people and children, you need to obey the rules that are in your home. Your parents have guidelines and say, we don't want you to dress this way. We want you to live this way. We don't want these things brought in. We don't want this kind of music. Think about where you're living. You are living in your parents' home. You respect their guidelines. That's only right. When you have your own home, you have the right to do what you want and raise your family like you want. Even if it's not in your heart, you need to submit and honor the home that your parents have established for you. But there is also a place there that that's not what this is about in serving God. In serving God, it's about that, Lord, I want to live this way because I choose to and I love to. It's not because God is twisting my arm to live a holy life. And sometimes the enemy would like us to think that if we love God, we can't do this and we can't do that. No, love releases from the cage. Love gets us out of our straitjacket. So when people say, oh, I can't do it because my church won't let me. Well, I say you've missed the essence of what this is about. Because God has not put us in a cage. He has set us free, saying, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. But it's a choice. There's much more that could be said, but do you know a life of love is what prompts us to say, Lord, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Decisions are not forced, but they're motivated by personal choice. I'd like to conclude with one more scripture in 1 John chapter 4. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in the world. Now listen to what he says. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. True love will begin to take away the fear because we are willing to place it in the hands of God and say, I'm willing to suffer injustice. I'm willing to let go. And that is the love that God will honor in our life, in our relationship with people, in our relationship with God. So I trust this afternoon that we can be challenged by this first experience that Solomon faced after asking God for judgment, or for wisdom rather, because in it we learn one of the lessons of the true nature of love. It's not in splitting the baby. It's in suffering injustice and wrong for the future life and welfare of something down the road.